Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
GR Sports Radio 550. It's time to take a look inside high school sports. Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri.
Inside High School Sports is brought to you by Minio and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes.
Good morning and welcome to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri. Francis Beck from WNY Athletics is here. Kyrie Demos from the Niagara Gazette and Roger Weiss, Derek Kramer producing. We are all set to talk some high school football this morning. A little cloudy. Not exactly the nicest day, but hey, what do you expect for fall, right, Raj?
Absolutely. I have nothing for news and notes, Anthony, but I do want to send along.
Good. Thank you, everybody. Good night. We'll see you next week.
I do want to send a message. Markel said to say hello. I spent last night at the Lancaster game with him. He had all intentions of coming here this morning, but he has a wake and a funeral to attend.
Oh,
so
I'm sorry
he sends along his best wishes, and hopefully you'll see you around Thanksgiving. He thinks that might be the next time he's home.
Cool. Yeah, it would be great to see him. Well, you know, a lot going on in high school. Before the show, you guys are like right at it. I'm not waiting for the show to start. All right, let's start comparing. How's it looking for double A? What are they going to do here? Hey, this team did this. So this is the kind of atmosphere that we are in right now. But before we get to the scores from last night, remember, Roger, last week I was telling you that I was headed to Manhattan Park. We had a Little League game against the Buffalo Vets.
Oh, you're going to start with the ribs.
Oh, I'm definitely going to start with the ribs.
Oh, it's gotta be, and then you had to post it yet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, baby. Well, first of all, I want to thank the Buffalo Vets for their awesome hospitality. Niagara Falls Junior Football Club had a great day. We had four great games with the Buffalo Vets, two great organizations putting it all out on the line. And I would like to thank James Mallory's mom for the ribs. Oh, Raj, you should have seen. They were big, they were thick, they were tasty.
Next time that happens, I'm blackmailing you, Anthony. Oh. I know a way around it. I'll fix it.
My. I mean, when I showed up, and they said, okay, Tony, we saved these for you. And I just went over to the side and like, oh, forget about football. I just want to enjoy these. Nice big thing of coleslaw to go with it. And they had other great things. Cheesy chili fries, chili dogs, cheese dogs.
Why would you want to ruin ribs with coleslaw?
I don't get that.
Yeah, what, you don't like coleslaw?
I'm going to decline to comment on that.
Well, you know
one.
What I think? I'd bypass the coleslaw so I have room for more ribs. Yeah, but that's just me.
That's just
what
me
do
too.
I know?
What about potato salad?
Yeah, I like potato salad too. But, you know, I'm not going to turn down coleslaw.
Or some good mac and cheese with it.
Some mac and cheese would have gone great. Maybe some cornbread.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would have really kicked it up a notch.
To me, you load up on all that other stuff, it's an insult to the preparer of the ribs. I'm sorry. That's my personal
Roger's
opinion.
Polite. We give him that. He's at least polite.
It's like everybody talking about, what do you like, gravy? No, gravy hides bad mashed potatoes or bad some or dry.
Oh, we're going to fight. We're fighting during the break. We're fighting during the break because if you don't put gravy on your mashed potatoes and then mix your corn in with it.
Oh, exactly.
Oh, no, the
piece of corn in with it, yes.
Gravy?
This show's
Why?
Getting out of hand here. This is getting out of hand.
See what I got to deal with, audience? See what I got to deal with?
All right, time for our G&G Fitness Coach of the Week. If you would like to nominate a coach, go to livefit.com. Submit your coach of the week and why that coach deserves to be nominated. And this week it is going to Al Cavallaro of Starpoint Football, retiring after 34 years with that program. Amazing. Great guy. Somebody posted or nominated Al, and I said, I couldn't agree more. He's just a tremendous guy, and Starpoint's going to miss him, but he's leaving the program in good hands, as we mentioned before.
Oh, yeah. You know, I actually got to do a story about this week. You know, it's been so cool to cover the Star Point program, just seeing, you know, how they've come along over the last few years, dominating in Class A. But, you know, the way that Coach Cav has it set up, Tim Racy's going to take over for him. And
Good guy.
Yeah, good guy. But just the way the whole staff is built, you know, it really reminds me of a college football program. You know, Coach Cav is like the CEO at the top, and then, you know, letting his coordinators and assistants really handle things. But, you know, talking.
Not the least of which is my man, Nate Butel.
Nate Butel.
Absolutely. Yeah, Billy Aquino, just to name a few, and they're good guys. Yeah.
Big win last night, too.
Yes.
They got a lot of walking wounded, and they needed that. They could have been. See, Francis, I know you're disappointed they couldn't add them to the 3-win, 3-loss tiebreaker. So sorry about that, but Star Point put themselves, I think they would be the second
seed. They get a home playoff game.
In fact, kudos to Marvin Townsend, who was called up from the JV. Marvin coached at Niagara Falls Junior Football Club, now over at Star Point. It was good to see him out on the field last night.
Yeah. And, Kerry, this is Coach Cav's 99th win, right?
99th win. So this is actually really cool.
They play Lockport next week. He could get his 100th win against, I would call him an arch rival. I don't know if it's as much a rivalry night game on a regular basis, but to me, if I'm Star Point, Lockport's got to be my arch rival.
Absolutely. That's the thing. It's like, you know, it's a new rivalry. It's not TNT, obviously, but it's, you know, it's a rivalry that's been growing over the last decade or so. And I mean, it's truly a rivalry now. It started out with Lockport really dominating the early portion of the series. The last few years, Star Point's really handled things. So it's going to be cool, though, for Coach Cav, because, you know, it's his crosstown rival, but also, too, he had, his kids went to Lockport. You know,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I went to school with Allie and John. They're, you know, two Lockport kids. So, yeah, you know, it'll be cool to be able to potentially get his 100th win against Lockport.
You mentioned Lockport. I'm going to be there tonight. My Little League team is taking on TTFA, Lockport's Outwater Park, and it's a neutral site game, so we'll be there at 7 o'clock. And, you know, when we found out that we were playing this game, and I can't help but thinking back to when I was a kid playing football for Shoshone, and it was a treat when we got to play under the lights at Williamsville. Williamsville, I believe, at that time was the only, in our league that we played, you know, the teams that we played against, we only went had lights, and it was such a big deal as a kid to walk out onto the field, under the lights, and to play in that. You're like, you wanted to cue the Monday Night Football theme, and, you know, it's just a neat atmosphere. Now that I'm get off my lawn age, I'm like, no, wait a minute. I need to be to bed early. I can't. No, it's going to be exciting for the kids, and we'll see. It's going to be a little chilly, though.
Other than a game at Bills game at the Rock Pile, and I mean, it was dark back in those days.
Oh, yeah.
The lights at the Rock Pile just weren't there. I think the first football game I ever attended at night was, in fact, at, I'll just say, Williamsville High School. There was no East and North back then, so it was just Williamsville High School, which you now know as Williamsville South, and it was against West Seneca High School, because there was no West and East, there was just West Seneca. I know I'm predating myself.
Then again, ladies and gentlemen, it was a one-room school. All the grades were compact into one school. Roger used to ride the horse to school every day.
No, the buggy.
The horse and buggy. Oh, man.
I'm going to get even with you sooner or later. Or later, if not sooner. Excuse me.
My first night game ever would be the very first game played at the Ralph. The Bills against the Redskins in a preseason game. Bills
lost
that one.
Time?
No, we missed the opening kickoff, which was returned for a touchdown because we were stuck in traffic.
Who's that, Herb Mulkey? Does that sound like the right person to return that kick?
I don't recall the name, but I just know that by the time we got in there,
Bills were down. Why weren't you paying attention? Oh, that's right, you didn't get there in time.
No, I was a kid. I mean, this is, what, 1972?
August of 73.
73? Okay, so I was, what, 7? My very first game. All right. All right, guys, let's get into the scores from last night. We'll talk about the games, whichever ones you guys want to just jump out, and you can follow along either in today's Niagara Gazette or in today's Buffalo News. And we will start out with, where did I have it? We had two scores from Thursday night, and then I completely lost that one already.
Sweet Home did a number on Kenmore
East.
Yeah,
40-12.
40-12. And
Depew beat Lackawanna?
Yep, 21-0.
Mm-hmm. So they had those two games on Thursday night. And on we go to last night in some non-league games. Randolph beat Chautauqua Lake Westfield 24-7. St. Francis over Dover of Ohio 62-41. Salamanca beating Clyde Savannah of Section 5. That was 48-32. Franklinville, Ellicottville 42 beat Cattaraugus Little Valley 8. Southwestern over Gowanda Pine Valley 20-0.
Actually, that was the forfeit game, Tony.
Oh, that was? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
They have to give them 20 for the plus differential.
Yeah. Right.
That's why they list the score as 20-0.
Yeah. My bad. I forgot about that. And that was on our Facebook page. Portville beat Fredonia 20-6. Allegheny Limestone beating Faulkner 32-8. Wilson beating Silver Creek, staying unbeaten. That was 27-6. Medina Lindaville Barker beat Akron 20-14. Burgard over Alden 46-18. Josh Allen.
I was just going to say, were you aware about Josh Allen doing a pregame prep talk for Burgard?
That's wow. Awesome. Outstanding stuff. You know, and I love when the Buffalo Bills do things like that, and I remember other players doing it in the past. If the players only knew how much it meant to the high school kids, even go out to some Little League games and surprise the kids there, you'd be surprised what you would do for the kids. Not to mention, instill that excitement level in them, something that, I want to continue playing football, because this is so neat. It's something to add to the experience. So I would just wish more and more of that would happen. But kudos to Josh Allen, showing why he's such a great community guy. Tonawanda 34, Eden North Collins 12. Olean over Springville 34-7. West New York Maritime 56-0 over Merivale. Iroquois beating Dunkirk 38-36. Pioneer 35, East Aurora Holland 7. Cheektowaga beating Lakeshore 31-6. Starpoint over Grand Island 28-17. Williamsville South 38, West Seneca East 34. Wilnor 27, North Tonawanda 7. McKinley over Williamsville East 38-14. Kenmore West 16, Hamburg 6. Clarence over Lockport 51-14. Bennett did a number on Frontier, 66-14. Orchard Park by one over Lancaster, 21-20. And Bishop Tymon blanking Cardinal O'Hara, 14-0. Story of missed extra points for Lancaster this year.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting.
No, it was a missed extra point on their first touchdown last night. When you say miss extra point in the Clarence game that they lost, it was a missed attempt at a two-point conversion in overtime. I don't think that was a
bad kick. Think Lancaster, they were driving down 21-20 with a couple minutes left in the game, and they fumbled inside the 10.
Ooh.
Controversial.
I didn't see it.
Controversy? No, not in high school. Come on.
No, they didn't show the replay on the Time Warner because my wife had taped the game for me, and they did not show the replay, but I don't know if I should mention his name. But I went to the game last night with a good friend of mine, and he says, number one, he thought the guy was down, and number two, the ground can't cause a fumble now.
Right.
So Orchard Park completely outplayed, but they were resilient. They took advantage of every opportunity. My biggest question on them at the end of the game, when you're running out the clock and you're going to use running plays, why would you have your top-notch passing quarterback doing the running?
Right.
Hand the ball off and get away. They already lost their best defensive player early in the game, Pataki, due to concussion protocol. That would be my biggest question. But
they only had one rushing yard in the first half.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, that's what Spectrum said in their halftime stats. They only had one rushing yard.
Oh, they got so completely outplayed for three quarters until that one, a deflected pass, turns out to be a pick six. And Orchard Park, to their credit, they wrote it. As much as Orchard Park won the game, Lancaster as much beat themselves last night.
Yeah. So what's this do now for AA, Francis? Obviously, Orchard Park is completely in the driver's seat.
Next week, they got to go down to Jamestown.
Yeah, they got to go down to Jamestown.
Even if they lose that game,
they'll be the...
It depends on if Jamestown wins this afternoon. They win this afternoon.
This afternoon, so I won't say it's a given, but
yeah.
It's pretty close.
So if they win this afternoon and they win next week, Jamestown will get the top seed.
The winner, Orchard Park is guaranteed a number two.
Yes.
If they win their number one.
And they would host a game.
Maybe two.
Maybe
actually
two,
assuming they win the first one.
Right.
Thing is, and Francis is drooling over the possibility, if Jamestown loses, now they got four teams at 4-2, and he can play his little game.
I don't want to play that. That's not a fun game. They don't all play each other.
It's if Jamestown wins next week, it's straightforward. Jamestown and OP will both be 5-1 in the league. Jamestown will have the head-to-head tiebreaker. It was so much easier when I had my own teeth, Anthony. You know that. Then there will be three teams at 4-2.
Mm-hmm.
Bennett,
Lancaster.
Clarence, and Lancaster. They all played each other. A beat B, B beat C, C beat A. So they go to point differential.
Among those games.
Among those three teams. And
they played each other.
Right. Bennett has the advantage on there and would finish third. And then they go to the first tiebreaker for a tie in fourth, which means Clarence versus Lancaster. Clarence won head-to-head, so they would be fourth. Lancaster would be fifth.
Wow.
The 4-5 game would be a rematch of the overtime one-point victory. It will be at Clarence.
Oh, man.
Now, keep in mind, this is
heads
only,
are exploding right
this
now.
This is only if Jamestown wins this week and beats Orchard Park.
Yes.
Right.
If they don't win next week, then we could have four teams tied for 4-2 for that two seed.
And they all didn't play each other, so you've got to get to about the 15th tiebreaker to figure out who
plays
who.
Opponents, I can't even wrap my
head
around that.
Then NASA comes in, and they have to put a formula together to figure it out.
And that's the thing.
That's
like,
no joke. That's no joke with that. It's, I don't, you know, without
it's a crazy year.
Without Mild around, you know, the late Daryl Gustav, I didn't want to get involved with that. Thank God for Francis. And it's not that he wants to do it. He doesn't have a choice.
My head won't let me not do it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, you know, Niagara Falls, out of all those teams, is probably in the most interesting spot. Like, they've put themselves in such a great position, but they could be as high as potentially the two seed, but they could drop all the way to, what, 6 or 7?
Well, if they were to win today, can you imagine?
It'd be 7th.
It would be
second frontier.
They could drop to 6.
But still.
The 6 seed plays the 3rd seed.
Yeah.
But does it matter which one of those teams the 6 seed plays? They are so even.
Right. They're so close. That's the thing.
Orchard Park looks good right now. They're at the mercy of weather, though, because they do not have a running game.
They do not.
Nothing.
They do not.
Like Francis said, what, they have 1 yard rushing.
1 yard
in the first
rushing
half.
First half, according to Spectrum.
Yeah, this is a different Orchard Park team. You know, this isn't those dominant, you know, offensive teams where it's, you know, okay, well, we got a great running game and we can pass it over the top too. Like, this is very reliant on Jack Sharp and what he's able to do through the passing game.
Well, they got a great offensive line and obviously a competent passing game, a quarterback that can deliver. When the weather gets dicey, you know, are you going to be able to rely on the passing game? You know,
plus,
when the winds are kicking up and it's cold out, tougher for receivers to grab the ball, tougher for the quarterbacks to grip. Yeah, those things will play a factor. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, take a look at some of the other games and classes where we stand right now with only a few weeks left of the regular season. You're listening to Inside High School Sports on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. You're listening to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, along with Francis Beck from WNY Athletics, Kyrie Demos from the Niagara Gazette, Roger Weiss, Derek Kramer producing. We're all set. We're talking about games last night, impact for playoffs. Hard to believe that the season's almost over already.
Oh,
it just goes by so fast. It's ridiculous.
Next week's rivalry, Anthony.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
absolutely crazy. And the big question is: this the year Tonawanda gets the monkey off their back and beats North Tonawanda? That's what inquiring minds want to know.
How long has it been? Like what is this?
20 years or something?
Oh my goodness, that's really crazy. I mean, if you're gonna do it, this is the year. NT's 1-5. I mean,
you think about it, as long as I've been doing this show, Tonawanda has not beaten North Tonawanda.
That is crazy.
Just this is going on my 19th year.
Wow.
I'm jumping ahead to Class C, but it looks like not
Can
only...
Can you move the microphone closer to your face?
You're the one that put it back
I
over
know
here.
I didn't put it back. Just tighten it up so you didn't drop it.
See, it's always me, Francis. Always me. No, not only might this be the year that Tonawanda beats North Tonawanda, but could you imagine in the beginning of the year if we said, you know what? This year, Tonawanda is going to beat North Tonawanda, and Cleve Hill is not going to make the playoffs.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd have told you you're dreaming. How does it? No, not in this reality.
No, because from what Francis tells me, he thinks Cleve Hill's already out.
Yeah, Cleve Hill should be already out.
They're going to the my funky bowl.
Yeah.
I thought there was a rule in Section 6 that said Cleve Hill has to play at the stadium.
well, not only that, if they didn't make the playoffs, this would be the first time that I can remember that they did not play a Section 6 playoff game either on their home field or at the Ralph.
There used to be a rule that Sweet Home had to win every Section 6 game, and
that's true.
Those times changed too. So, hey, maybe it's an end of an era.
It's amazing.
Yeah, the late John Fowler and that one streak, what, from 2007 on, 77-5?
69-game win streak.
Yeah.
Against Section 6 opponents.
Yeah, Will North cut that one down, right?
Yeah. That was when Will North started to come up.
Right.
Here's Tony, another rare occurrence.
All right, give it to me.
Amherst is playing in a pivotal playoff
matchup.
In week seven. In week seven. Yeah. And with a game with key playoff implications.
Wow.
That's right. They play Albion today. That's a non-leaguer. My mistake.
Wow. Everything's just turning upside down.
Oh, my goodness.
You mentioned you wanted to talk about a game last night.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to go to Star Point and GI, so that kind of sets up for next week with Grand Island losing last night to Star Point. I wanted to talk about Joe Carlson.
How could you not?
I don't want to be biased, because I cover this kid, but how can you not say that this kid's the best player in Western New York? Rushes for 92 yards and a touchdown, 10 of 18, 115 passing yards and a touchdown, catches 4 passes, 59 yards and a touchdown. So this kid is their leading rusher, receiver, and passer on the night.
You said he caught 4 passes. Is the number one quarterback back, or is this the third string?
No, he is not. So he was starting last night as the Wildcat quarterback. And then the first play that he switched to receiver last night, he catches a 50-yard bomb. He has the game-clinching interception, almost house-called it, and it was called back on a late hit or something like that. But, this kid, I don't know what more. And the kid had 4 extra points last night, too.
Raj, how does Connolly Cup not have him pencil? I mean, I'm sure he's on the radar and everything, but you think you'd have to look at him as a front runner?
I don't know about front runner, but I mean definitely top 5.
He's certainly a finalist.
Definitely top 5.
Top 5 for sure.
Because there's
Ritz is still doing great.
Yeah,
and then
you got
all Sharp,
these quarterbacks with these numbers, and the numbers mean a lot. Mm-hmm. The guys, one of the other guy besides him, who I really like, and I don't know if he's gonna make it, is the 250-pound fullback from Newfane.
My God,
he's not even their leading rusher.
The quarterback's the leading rusher, but Anthony, this guy is, like I say, 250 pounds.
He's mad out there.
Converted lineman, and he also runs a 4.7 40. You don't get him in the first 3 steps, you're not going to knock him down. You'd be better off trying to tackle a truck at 30 miles an hour.
Well, I told you, it's like Zonka back in the day, bigger than the luff,
except,
the offensive lineman.
Zonka couldn't run no 4.7 40, I guarantee you.
And
he didn't need to.
Hey, true.
He's their leading tackler on defense. He's rushed for, I believe, 11 rushing touchdowns at this point on the season. So
he's definitely on the radar, or has to be.
Absolutely.
Anthony, the first time I saw him was a year ago against Burgard. It was at either Ohio or Riverside, I can't remember. And I says, This guy's running on the field of the line, and he's got number 44 or whatever it was. How does he get a number like that? Then I saw him in the backfield, and I saw him. Oh, my God. Oh, you know, no thank you, coach. You know, how's that saying go? Put me in, coach. I want to play. It would be take me out, coach. I don't want to play.
He's actually 260, so that makes it a little more impressive even. But
and he can run.
Can run. Last week, you should have seen, he hit the edge a couple times on the Tonawanda defense. It's like you said, those guys see him in the open field, they're like, ah, oh, well, I'm going to go this way. I'm going to make a business decision.
Yeah, really.
All right, let's get into some of the other action.
Why don't we talk about A2 a little
bit?
Yeah,
because that looks
good,
like it's...
All right, so the number one seed is South Park. They clinched last week. Star Point with the win is number two. So now we could have a four-way... We're going to have a four-way tie, it looks like, for the 3 and 4 seeds. Right now, West Syndicate East and Sweet Home are currently 3 and 3. That's where they're going to finish. Amherst plays Grand Island. Winner of that game is 3 and 3. And then if Will South loses next week to South Park, they end up 3 and 3. So we'll have a four-way tie. Now, Grand Island did not play West Seneca East, so that four-way tie would be very difficult to figure out right now. But if Amherst were to win, you would have West Seneca East take the third seed, and you would have Williamsville South take the fourth seed, because in those situations, you would take the games played among just those teams, and West Seneca East would come out with a plus 13-point differential. And then once you do that, you take out the West Seneca East games, and you do the three games among Sweet Home, Will South, and Amherst, and Will South would have a plus 8-point differential. But that's only if Amherst wins. If Grand Island wins, this is going to be a lot tougher.
There's going to be a test on this later on, folks.
Yeah,
I hope you're...
Jeez.
I hope you're cramming.
So if you carry the 2 over and then you round it up to the next decimal point.
And 1,492, Tippy Canoe and Tyler 2, said 5,440. Yeah, you're right, Francis.
Oh, yeah, if you apply Chebyshev's theorem and of statistics, all right. Man, this is confusing. All right. And what about B's? At least B's are straight and are pretty much set.
They're a little bit easier. So we have 7 teams already have berths in the playoffs for Class B. We know the order of the top 4. That order is Maritime at number 1. They got it by beating Maryvale by 20 points or more. Then you have, all 4 teams in the top are 4-0, so it's a 4-way tie. Maritime, by point differential, gets the first seed. Then you have a 3-way tie between Newfane, Albion, and Cheektowaga. Because we're going by point differential and they all didn't play each other, Newfane would get the number 2 seed despite losing to Albion.
Wow. Which is unbelievable because they lost to Albion, but it was a non-league game.
It's,
right.
Yeah, well, it would have...
It was a crossover game.
It's a crossover game.
Every team in B, they played their 4 league opponents, they played 1 non-league game, and their other 2 games were considered crossover games, which helped determine only the seeding between the first and second finishers.
Okay.
Now, yeah, it would have counted as if Newfane and Albion were tied with the same record.
Yeah.
But because they're in a 3-way tie or a 4-way tie, mm-hmm. They all didn't play head-to-head, so we have to throw that out. So Newfane's number 2, Albion's 3, and 4 is Cheektowaga. Those are set. The bottom four, Pioneer gets a spot, Iroquois gets a spot, and Tonawanda gets a spot. We're still trying to figure out B3.
Olean controls their destiny.
Olean controls their own destiny.
Lackawanna. If they don't, then Francis will be happy because then he got 3 teams at 2 and 2 and he can play his tiebreaker.
Oh, I already figured that out.
So what happens if Olean loses?
If Lackawanna wins by 15 points or more against Depew, wins the tiebreaker over Olean and Lackawanna. And for the 2 seed. If Lackawanna wins by plus 14 points, Depew and Olean are tied with point differential, and it goes to least allowed points. If Lackawanna wins by 13 points or less or loses, Olean gets the 2 seed.
Is that going to be the same test as the A2s, or will that be a separate test?
This is going to be finals. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely.
You can't graduate unless you pass this one.
Whoever can figure this out gets an automatic scholarship to Stanford.
Good job, Francis. We do have games that have impact and have meaning, especially in A1. Where are we looking there?
A1 is all but set. I'm short of a McKinley loss messing things up. We pretty much, it's going to be McKinley, the first seed, Kenmore West, the two seed, and West Seneca West, the three seed, Will North, the four seed. Again, if McKinley loses, it messes things up because...
Well, they beat Ken West head to head.
So yeah, but they would have the same record as West Seneca West, and they didn't play each other. So this, it'll get a little funky here. So I didn't really want to dive into
what... assuming today that West Seneca West does knock off Niagara Wheatfield.
Yes.
Okay.
But A1 is pretty much set in pen, not quite in stone, but pretty much in pen. It's,
you have a clear pick, a clear, yeah, clear picture.
Four teams will be there anyway.
We know which four seeds, like, and we're pretty sure on the order.
Okay. What about, we still have two B's to go through, one and three?
No, we're good with B's.
Oh, B's are all,
yeah,
set.
Because
okay,
it's all, they all play in one playoff. Four divisions, but it's one playoff of eight,
oh,
teams.
Okay. Now what about C's?
C, North is pretty much set. Let me just bring this up. Wilson clinched the top seed last week. JFK clinches the two seed today if they can beat Roy Hart. Akron has clinched at least the three seed. In order for them to get the two, they would need two JFK losses and to get a win next week. Silver Creek should be the four seed.
Any word on Akron's quarterback? Has he come back yet from the injury from the Wilson game?
We don't think so. They might be holding him out as precaution for now. It sounds like it's not too serious, but they have two non-leaguers, so I think if there's any doubt, they probably want to hold him back and let him go for the playoffs.
Not only that, it would be either the three seed or the two seed. They know who they're going to play. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think it's that big a deal whether they go on the road or stay at home.
Yeah.
You're talking Akron and JFK. It's not like it's Akron had to go down to Southwestern or something like that. So I would, you know, not throw caution to the wind. I would hold him out until he's ready because they are a completely different team when he's around. I mean, you know.
It's crazy to think.
47-0 they had Cleve Hill, mm-hmm, what, early in the third quarter?
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, he's a difference maker.
And it's crazy because that game, that one possession, that first possession, that opening drive really just changed the face of everything. You go from this kid driving you down. I mean, he had a huge, I don't know, 30-yard gain to get down to the one. They drag him down, horse collar tackle. Now he's hurt. They go from, okay, well, we might win the C North, get the number one seed, get two home playoff games, to they might be on the road the whole time.
Wow. That's amazing. What about, and before we go to the break, Francis, in Class D?
Class D, they were all not playing yesterday, so there's only five teams. There's still a lot to figure out.
Okay.
You so also missed the class. We still didn't do Class C South.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, Class C South. Southwestern clinched last week the number one seed with the forfeit of Gowanda. Portville has the number two seed as they won last night. If Chautauqua Lakes beat Allegheny Limestone, this is where things get interesting. We have a three-way tie.
No way. Why am I not surprised?
Not again.
I didn't say a thing. He said, this is where it gets interesting. You know,
you see how excited he gets.
Francis got the little kid face.
He got the lab coat on.
It's Christmas morning.
This is why I don't get any sleep.
Come here, my precious standings.
If Chautauqua Lake wins by 7 points or more, they get the third seed. Allegheny Limestone would get the fourth seed, and Fredonia would be out of the playoffs. If Chautauqua Lake wins by 6 points, them and Allegheny Limestone would be tied, and they'd have to go to least points allowed to figure out who gets that spot, and that could potentially... That would change on whether Fredonia makes the playoffs. If Chautauqua Lake wins by 5 points or less or loses, they miss the playoffs. Allegheny Limestone should get the three seed. Fredonia would get the four. Luckily, they all play each other.
My head has just melted over.
Woo!
All right, guys, let's take a break. Let's let Francis cool down. I see smoke emanating from his head right now. We'll take a break. Don't forget following us at 11 o'clock Sports Talk Saturday. We'll be here at you talking Bills, Sabres, and everything else. Keep it locked right here at WGR Sports Radio 550. We're back. One last segment of Inside High School Sports. Then Sports Talk Saturday follows us at 11, recapping last night's games, looking at how the playoff scenario is looking. Francis has just given us a intro to playoffs 101 course.
Any chance you could repeat that?
Section 6 playoffs for dummies, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, real quick note, Frank Wolf told me Akron's QB and top linebacker are out for the season.
Yeah, and their middle linebacker?
Yeah. Top linebacker.
Top linebacker, yeah, that's right. I also got a message on Twitter for that as well. Now, one thing that we missed on News and Notes, Roger, you and I were just discussing that. West Seneca West has a new basketball coach.
Really good, the real old people for the basketball coach.
Yeah,
right?
He just graduated, what, last week?
Stan Weir, for those of you who don't remember, as a sophomore, he played on that 2010 Nicholls basketball Fab Five team with Will Regan, Ron Canestro, Connor Vandegrift, and Andy McKinnon.
I can't believe you remember those names.
Oh, no, but I mean, you know, that was a starting five that would be. The only starting five to me in the years I've been covering that would come close would be, you know,
Niagara Falls
with Johnny Flynn and Paul Harris, Garrison Gamble.
Starks as the sixth man.
And anybody else. Starks was sixth man on that team. Yeah. Starks goes to another school. He might have made all Western New York in basketball as well. But James Starks, But
congratulations Stan.
To Stan Weir.
Yeah, good guy. Glad he's taking over the program. I'm sure he'll do well. Take a look at Monsignor Martin. It's the whole thing.
Yeah, but last week, St. Francis defeated St. Joe's in a tight game. 27-21 was the finals. That means St. Francis, they have a date with Canisius, I believe, in week 8. If they win that game, they get the top seed in a bye in the Monsignor Martinet playoffs. And then last night, Tymon defeated O'Hara 14-0, sending up the Tigers and St. Mary's for the first seed in the Bs. I don't know what week that game is. That might be week 8 as well.
Rumor has it Francis is hoping that Canisius beats St. Francis so they can have the three-way one and one and he can play his little game. But no, it was very important win for St. Francis now. Theoretically, if St. Francis holds on to the number one, because the key there is the 2-3 game, the host team only has to win, you know, the first seed gets the bye, which might be critical, because whoever wins the 2-3 game has got to come right back and play the number one seed. And
Good luck.
But yeah. It's interesting. Monsignor Martin is interesting.
Don't sleep on Canisius just yet.
Title no, breaker. they've been picking up and rolling with a little bit of steam lately. We've talked about their size, their skill positions. Was it a thing where they just had to put it all together and where all the pieces are finally working? Who knows? But you're right. It is exciting right now.
Yeah. In losing last week, St. Joe's really impressed me about. What's they held St. Francis scoreless in the second half.
Oh, wow. That's big. That's important.
That's saying something.
That is saying something.
And, because besides the St. Francis quarterback, Ritz, is that his name?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They got this. Well, all these people are saying Janslick. In the old country, we say Lonchek, the running back for St. Francis. I like him as much, if not more, than Ritz as a Conley Cup finalist.
Wow.
Because he plays both sides.
Okay.
If you were to start throwing, maybe it's too early, start throwing out possible Trench Trophy finalist, or are you even allowed to speculate?
Oh, no, the names are out there. They come up with six every week. I don't get to look at the films, because even when watching the films and you're supposed to watch the linemen, I can't. Once the ball's like, I watch the ball instead of the linemen. I let the experts on the committee. I help them out by getting nominees in and talking to coaches. After that, the experts on the trench committee, they take care of that.
In fact, I was watching a video this week. Mouse McNally posted and grading offensive linemen, which I found interesting. I like to sit down and do that sort of stuff. You see a lot when you see it the way it's broken down the right way. A lot of things just pop out at you, and you're like, wow, okay, yeah, I see what they're saying.
His camps always were so cool, because he would have it was a nice duality to it. Like, you would have the film room type stuff, the technique. He'd show things on stage and things, but then then carry it over to the field, which was always cool, too.
Yeah, Anthony, he does a wonderful job. If anybody, I don't know if he's still done, but I'm sure if you contact him and you want to put a camp or clinic together, he'd be the guy to go to.
Can you imagine the reaction on these kids, though, the first time they set eyes on McNally? This guy, oh, yeah, NFL lineman and all this, that, and the other thing. They walk in and, okay, here comes you know, Jim McNally out there, and he walks out, and this guy looks about half as big as George Carlin.
The funny thing is, one of my offensive line coach at St. John Fisher, he's like, yeah, you know, old Mouse over there in Buffalo. I'm like, Mouse? He's like, yeah, Mouse McNally. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, definitely understand that.
I think that's probably one of the best clinics I had ever gone to was the one he put on. We had it at Star Point High School with all the NASA coaches. And he was absolutely fantastic. He kept going through. It's like, I hope I'm not, you know, going over your heads with this stuff. And we're like, no, we're right with you, coach. We're following along. We're soaking everything in. He thought maybe we were just, bored or something. No, you're just in awe and you don't want to interrupt him. You just, yeah, keep going. This is fantastic. I learned an awful lot from watching him.
You don't have to worry about questions. But when you do have questions, by the time he's done, he's answered your question that you were holding, you know. Hold questions till the end because I'll answer them. I might give you the answer later, and certainly he does.
Yeah. For sure.
Now, next week is Rivalry Week, and give for our fans out there who want to go to games, who are hosting the games. We know North Tonawanda is hosting Tonawanda, yep. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Who's hosting the Lancaster DePue game?
I believe it's at DePue because Lancaster had senior night last night.
Okay.
I will correct
Rockport
if wrong.
Will host Star Point.
That'll
next
be
week.
On Saturday.
Yep.
North is hosting East in the Battle of Williamsville, one of the battles of Williamsville. Newfane is going to Wilson. That's going to be an interesting game.
That's going to be a really cool game. Two divisional champs. Just playing just to play, you know. That'll be real fun.
Well, here's what's intriguing about that game, and as you were mentioning, the big running back there for Newfane, going up against a small Wilson defense, but technically sound, as I've said, the last couple of weeks, that's going to be interesting. How do they get in there and able to deal with a back of that size?
Yeah, I want to see, too, Bobby Atlas, the quarterback from Wilson, he's literally turned the ball over one time this season. Smart, efficient football. I want to see how he's able to play against a tough Newfane defense, one of the best defensive units in the area. Before we talk about some of those games next week, I did want to mention a couple of notes for today. With Newfane actually playing against Lewiston Porter, you know, it's actually a matchup of two other best running backs in Western New York with Jaden Hears and then Gino Fontana.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's crazy to me.
And he's quietly putting up great numbers.
Quietly, like, okay, so against Lakeshore, this kid puts up 336 yards. Last week, he follows that up with 226 and four touchdowns against East Aurora in an upset. You know, they play Newfane today. Now they're done with their B schedule. They're not even going to make the playoffs. And this kid is on the verge of cracking 1K. So, that's pretty crazy to me. But one thing I did want to mention was in the Niagara Falls game today, I want to see how
that's Zion. Senior day, by the way. I think at 1 o'clock they'll start with the intros.
Yeah,
2 o'clock. Yeah,
the game starts at 2, but they'll introduce the seniors at 1, cheerleaders and players.
And we'll have a live broadcast on Mixlr.com/WNYAthletics.
Yeah. I really like the matchup that it poses for the Niagara Falls offense just because I want to see what they can do, you know, in a big-time game like this. You know, Justin Humphrey Goldsmith, he's the first 1,000-yard passer in Niagara Falls history. So, you know, he's been able to put up numbers this season. And Zion Page as well, his top receiver, he's got 7 touchdowns on the season. He's averaging 30 yards a catch. So one of the best deep ball guys in the area. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do against the Red Raiders defense.
Yeah, I think I might stop by and catch a little bit of that game before I head out to Lockport later on tonight. All right, guys, thanks very much. Thank you to Derek Kramer for producing. We'll talk to you next week for Rivalry Weekend, which is a big one in Western New York, and the playoff picture continues to get clearer. Well, at least with Francis here, it gets clear. It clears it up for the rest of us. We'll talk to you next week with more Inside High School Sports.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.